And this theme of this season is transformation. The goal of the Christian life is transformation. We are to be transformed into the image of Christ. To be, do, act like Jesus. Not to obey legalistic, pharisaical rules. So when I say obedience, I don't mean that you have crossed off everything on my list. I mean that we are following Jesus. I wanted to make that clear. And in following Jesus, we become transformed. But self-directed, that is a value in our culture. It really is. In fact, I bought my daughter a t-shirt. It has a video game icon on it, and it says, Self-Rescuing Princess. We want to have people who are self-reliant, self-directed. We've based our entire political system on that. In fact, Presbyterians, too. Let's see. Where is it? It's somewhere in here. Yes. Do you see this? You all are supposed to read this so that you can keep me in line. That's what Presbyterians do. You all are responsible for knowledge of Scripture so that you can throw this at me if I get it wrong. That's self-directed. There's something about that that is very American, very Presbyterian. But there's a qualification there. And it's interesting. When we hear about self-direction, one thing that I think about is we hear all these war stories about a soldier who's given orders and then in defiance of direct orders does something else. And either gets himself and everybody else killed, or we hear these better stories, does something fantastic. And he's praised for being self-directed. But that's different than being wrong necessarily, because why? The soldier has these orders, and then there's a reality that he reacts to. Maybe there's a detail that the orders don't address. Maybe there's something that happens that he has to think about and change his course. Or maybe he sees the big picture. I think there's something interesting about that. If we see a bigger picture, if we buy in to something greater than just the rules, maybe it's the spirit of the law, we become even more successful at following the rules because we understand the objective. Many of you know that my wife and I purchased another dog, and this one, whose name is Maggie, I'm fairly certain she's been abused at some point, because she can't stand me. But of course, there's plenty of people who can't do that. But there's something off with the dog. But also, this is a Scottish Terrier, who is rather short-legged and small in stature, who climbs fences. She's quite an extraordinary dog. Friday, she climbed the fence and disappeared into the neighborhood. And I was actually that morning thinking I needed more exercise. Spent the next hour running after her. And she was very happy to have me run after her. She would not let me near her. Wouldn't let me touch her. No matter, you know, I guess I rattled the tree can and that stopped her, but then off she goes. Finally, maybe I ran her into exhaustion, but finally, she slowed down a little bit. And my wife, Lindsay, spent the next hour sitting in some stranger's backyard trying to coax the dog with treats. And after about 20 minutes, I realized I wasn't helping, so I walked away. Finally, after another hour, Lindsay decided, I'm just going to go home and hope the dog follows me. And the dog did. Which was really surprising, because this is a self-directed dog. And Scottish Terriers generally are known to do that. I don't care about your fences, your yard. I don't care about your rules or your carpet. I'm going to do what I want. And of course, a certain amount of training, certain amount of other things we can do. And I know some of you are thinking, you got to train that dog. Yes, I probably should. But the point being, the dog is self-directed. And the dog could have gotten run over multiple times. And there's this obvious moral here. Many times in our self-direction, we do not see the bigger picture. And even if our motives are good, we step into more danger than we might suppose. Let's dig into the story of Joseph briefly. There is not much said about Joseph. We know he was some kind of laborer. Traditionally, it's been a carpenter. But re-looking at it, potentially too, he could have been a wall builder, a mason as well. Some of those words are interchangeable. But it makes sense. There was lots of Roman elite making villas and all sorts of things. So certainly, he probably was an individual who was working on somebody's estate and producing, whether it be things of wood or stone or anything like that. He worked with his hands. But we know, too, he was a good man because he had lots of options. When he finds that Mary, who he's engaged with, is pregnant. He had options. He had a choice to make. At that time, engaged was more, he's married, really. There is a process that it's one step shy of officially being married, but really there was a year of waiting before. But this was serious business. This was not like an engagement that we know today. And he found that she was pregnant. Now I wonder if she told him, if she said, "Joseph, great news!" No, that's not great news. What are you talking about? Or if she came back from visiting Elizabeth and she didn't have to tell anyone. It was just obvious. Oh, you're pregnant. What happened? It doesn't say. But it's interesting if you think about both of those scenarios. If she spoke to him, if they had that kind of relationship at that point, or if it was just obvious. It makes sense that it says Mary was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. That could be an addition by Matthew, just to make sure, in case you forgot, this was from the Holy Spirit. Or it could have been that was Mary's explanation to Joseph. And I think it might be slightly appropriate to say it, to read that particular phrase with a little irony. Oh, from the Holy Spirit. Okay. Joseph hasn't bought into this yet. If he heard anything, if Mary explained anything to him, he's not buying. The Holy Spirit has conceived a child within you. Okay. You violated my trust. You've put myself, yourself, and both our families to shame. What do you do? There's a lot of temptation to be self-directed here. Have you ever been put in that situation where you have been presented with a situation like this. Maybe it's a child who shows up with an issue. Maybe your child is pregnant, out of wedlock, in high school. Maybe there's a family member who's in prison because of a DUI. Maybe there's a spouse who has kept some deep sin from you. You have violated my trust. You've brought shame on yourself and me and our families. I think it's pretty natural to create a plan. What are we going to do? After the initial anger, rage, confusion, frustration, it doesn't say that Joseph went through any of those things, but I'm imagining, yeah, that's probably going to be the reality. But Joseph makes a plan, and it says, Joseph, being a righteous man, even righteous men, righteous women, get confronted with situations like this, where this is not Joseph's fault, but he has to deal with it. Somehow he has to shoulder this mess. But he's a righteous man, therefore he wants to remain righteous and do what is right. He wants to follow the rules. He wants to do good. And he also wants to be compassionate. He is a righteous man and he's unwilling to expose Mary to public disgrace. Joseph was a fantastic fellow because one of his choices, he could haul her into public, condemn her, and while it was rare, theoretically, they could stone her because obviously she had been committing adultery. That was choice number one. That was within his rights in these rules. But he was a compassionate man, not wanting to expose her to public disgrace. So he planned to dismiss her quietly. And what that meant was he brought two elders to Mary, so the three of them would come and he'd present her with a letter of divorce. Quick and easy. He would be a widower. She would be a widow. And we move on with our lives. This was the self-direction for Joseph. This was the choice. He was working with what he had. Wanting to follow God's laws, wanting to remain righteous, and then wanting to be compassionate and merciful as much as he could. So he's choosing this middle way. The third way would have been to just live with it. But that would not have been righteous. You can't, having exposed sin, just live with it. You have to deal with it. Of course, he did not. Once again, let me repeat, he didn't buy into this Holy Spirit business. But just when he had resolved to do this, just at this cusp of his self-direction, he's got his plan together, God steps in. An angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David. Why did you say that, angel? Son of David, that's referring to all of this messianic business that the Savior is going to be born, that David's throne will not remain empty. And I assume if he had heard anything from Mary, she had told him some of this. And I'm thinking that lit something in his head. Oh, yes. We're talking about this bigger picture of God rescuing God's people. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Afraid? Am I afraid? then he was. I mean, besides the fact of just having to deal with a baby, that's pretty scary at first. But it's fascinating to think that in all of his self-direction, all of his planning, some of that, much of that, although there is a desire to be righteous and there is a desire to be compassionate, some of it's based on fear. That's a fascinating question that takes more time than we have to think about. But when we make our plans, it is fascinating to think, what are we afraid of? Do not be afraid. Take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So now he's heard it twice. He's heard it from Mary, and it's confirmed by an angel. Okay. He accepts this. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel. Now, Mary's going to bear a son. We're going to name him Jesus, and he's going to save his people from their sins, which is what Jesus means, God saves. This, once again, is part of this bigger story. God is coming to rescue God's people through this particular child. And on top of that, here's scripture and prophecy. Joseph awoke from sleep. He didn't sit around to consider. He didn't wait. He didn't make his owner sit in some stranger's backyard for an hour. He did as the angel commanded him. He took her as his wife. That's profound movement from my own plans to understanding God's plans. That dog did follow Lindsay home. And we had the other dogs to try to convince her that everything was okay. We opened the front door. The other two dogs went inside to where it was warm, to where there was food, and where there were treats. And this dog sat outside for just a second, then ran around to the backyard, jumped back over the fence, and decided to go into the back door. But either way, what obedience brings us, not this obedience to the letter of the law, but this obedience to God's magnificent story of saving God's people, it takes us home to a place where there is love and mercy and compassion, and where we can be righteous. And that is the big story. We make our plans, but many times God reaches in and says, do not be afraid. Come join my story.